Welcome to the Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. In this episode, we'll discuss the recent convention of studios and theater owners, also known as CinemaCon, plus a few TV tidbits and a lot more. So let's get on with the show. Peterson, joining me today are my fellow host, Troy Heinrichs.
What's up, everybody?
And returning from NoReruns.net is Kyle Nolan.
Hey, guys.
Thanks for coming back, man. Amanda will not be here. She is absent. We marked her absent. I don't know how many absents she gets before she gets a timeout, but she's getting close.
She like pre-declared this one, though. So is that like present, but not... It's like pass-fail, but not a grade for the semester?
Like 48 hours. What's the limit?
But I did have way more time than the last time where I was notified an hour beforehand.
It did. Usually she clears it, and then I'm like, all right, I'll think about what we're going to do. And then I just think too long. So that's probably on me. But thanks for jumping in. And you had less than 24 hours, so we appreciate your diligence, sir. What's new in the TV world and NoReruns.net? How do you like doing that? Because you still cover a lot of network TV. I'm curious, is that still as popular?
I mean, I personally like the network TV because I can watch it on my TiVo and watch it sped up. It's much easier to keep up with because I can watch it at my 1.5 times speed.
Oh my God. I don't get that. You listen to this show on 1.5, don't you? Or 2? Do you go to 2?
I listen to you on 2.
Jesus. Yeah. We're that slow?
It sounds so slow when I talk to you guys in person.
God. You guys need to speak faster. Troy does the same thing. What are you at, Troy? Do you listen to 2?
Variable. I'm like 1.75, but it adjusts automatically.
Dear. Although when I listen to myself on the podcast, I sound like I'm talking way too fast because I think I'm just used to like hearing fast talking and then I end up talking fast because I listen back. You guys sound almost normal and then I sound like I'm the Micro Machines guy talking.
Do you guys feel like you're both very impatient or is this just common these days?
No, I think it goes to like the old days when they had this thing called Evelyn Wood speed reading. So your brain gets trained to scan and glance and get the basic information that you need to know without having to hear every single word. So I think your brain can be trained that way, especially like if you do a lot of audiobooks or podcasts, you just get used to the cadence of their voices. So when you hear the cadence, you're like, okay, I can speed that cadence up a little bit because now I know exactly what words that they're saying.
I don't know, man. I've tried it and it still sounds like chipmunks. I don't know how you think it just clears noise. It is. That's what it sounds like to me. A chipmunk chainsaw. Is that a thing? They should make one of those. A chainsaw just for chipmunks.
You should patent that now before it.
I would sell dozens.
Except it's not chipmunks because everybody still sounds the same. It doesn't change the pitch of the voice.
It does, though. I've done it on multiple things, and it always changes the voice. I don't know how you say it doesn't.
Yeah.
It does.
I'm with Troy on this one, but every time I tell someone, they say, oh, I can't listen to chipmunks talking. So everyone thinks that's what it sounds like, but to me, it sounds perfectly normal.
It's just closing all the air gaps.
Mine sounds like chipmunks talking. Maybe I'm doing it wrong. I don't know, but I also don't want to hear myself talking like that. It's uncomfortable. I don't normally listen to my own. Like, that's just weird. But I wonder how I sounded last week. You know, but I'm not going to say I never do. On occasion. Hey, I'm remote this week. I'm actually traveling yet again, so that's why I sound like I'm in a hotel room, because I am in a hotel room. But I want to thanks everybody for listening and remind you that you can find more information at thehollywoodoutsider.com, including our previous South by Southwest episodes and the last episode we did, which was kind of like fun little hits and bits, and I thought that was a really good episode, so check that one out. And yes, if you noticed, if you are on Patreon, you can get this, of course, ad-free. But you might hear ads at the beginning and end of the podcast these days. It just helps pay for the show. That's all.
So if you don't want ads, pay $5.
Whatever it is, go to Patreon.
So you're offering your own ad-free tier now, like the streaming services.
Sure. Yeah, exactly.
If they can do it, why can't we?
Why can't we, man? You know, we devote time. I think it's $3. I think you can get ad free for the $3
level. I need the extra $3 to remove the ads from Amazon.
I'd do it. They raised that. Did you see they raised that?
Did they really?
Yeah. I think it's going up to like $4.99 or something.
Plus, isn't the 4K now limited to?
Yes, now you get 4K. Like, you need 4K for, you know, Little House on the Prairie from 1975. I think I'm going to be okay. I don't really need it. I think we overthink that sometimes.
For them coming out of the gate strong with like Man in the High Castle and Bosch and all that, I have not seen a single thing from them in a long time. Like Jack Ryan and Upload, I think, were the last two things I watched.
That sounds like a Prime. You problem. I mean, I watched The Boys. I watched Reacher. There's a lot of stuff on Prime I watch. You don't watch?
I forgot Boys.
I watch a bunch of stuff on Prime. I can't. I know I have One Dimension at the end, but that's not really anything 4K related. But that's not even scripted.
I like Sykes on there, so I can watch that. Even though I own it, I like to just stream it. There's stuff on there. But hey, we're going to talk a little bit about that later. Like, what is the show on a streamer that makes you say that's worth it? We're going to talk about that too. Okay, so here we go. We're going to start with some CinemaCon. And if you don't know what that is, that's a convention of cinema owners and studios coming together. And the studios pitch them the movies that they're working on that are going to be released throughout the year or that are coming up in the near future. And try to get their buy-in to a lot of stuff, right? So there's a bunch of information that came out of there, and they promote everything by showing early trailers long before you and I see them. Like, they have the Resident Evil trailer, and they have some others, plenty of other things that they're showing. They make announcements. Like, they announced that Long Legs is getting a new movie with Nicolas Cage starring in it and still written by Osgood Perkins, but it's going to be a new version of that story. I don't know if it's going to be a prequel or what it'll be. So there's a lot of different stories that come out of there. And one thing I thought was noteworthy was Tim Rothman, the CEO of Sony, who has a direct deal with Netflix, by the way, spoke directly to theater owners and asked them to do three things to help improve audience attendance at the movie theater. And I thought, oh, okay, well, this is interesting. The studio is trying to get their buy-in. Here's what he wants. Enforce longer windows, even if it means you cannot play every film, right? And what I mean with those are theatrical windows. So from the time a movie starts to a time it goes to video. And so he's talking to the studios too. He's like, hey, we need to have these theatrical windows so that the theater owners will keep the movies in their theaters longer and that they can count on them not going to home video or streaming anytime soon. That's the idea. Let's come together. Let's be on the same page. Great.
But the theater owners have like control on that?
No, he's talking to theater owners and studios.
Okay.
Yeah. They're all there in the room. So they need
to. I saw Universal decided that they were going to go to 45 days now. Starting next year.
More and more. That's what it was. Yeah. No, it was like 60, I think, pre-COVID, right? And then it came down to, I don't know, 5 minutes. And then it moved back to 2 weeks. And then it's slowly getting back towards like 45 days.
Yeah, I think Disney's at the 60-day mark right now.
Right.
I mean, it makes no sense if someone knows they can see it in 3 weeks on go stream it. They're not going to bother to go if they're on the fence. But if they know they have to wait like 2 months before they can see it, maybe they'll go to the theater.
It's true. Right. So that's one thing. That's the first thing that he wanted to talk about. The second is get rid of the endless advertising and substantially shorten the long pre-shows that some, not all of you have. Get off that ad track. I find that fascinating that even the CEO of Sony is saying, a half hour is too long, assholes. Stop having so many ads.
See, we don't really have that many ads. I think the trailers start maybe 6 minutes in, and then there might be one ad in the middle. But it's still
trailers are ads. Too long.
Yeah, if you consider a trailer an ad, to me, like, I just try to tune them out for 25 minutes because I can't force myself to show up late. As much as I know that it's going to start late, I just can't bring myself because it'll be the one time that they actually start the movie on time for some reason.
This is a legitimate question. You go, because I know you, for anyone that doesn't know, I know Kyle well, but every, Thursday, you go and you see 2 to 3 movies back to back. Is that not correct?
Pretty much 2 movies most okay. weeks, yeah.
So you go back to back. You see at least 2 movies every Thursday. You have A-list, so it's affordable, right?
Yeah.
And you know it's going to be a half hour at roughly before your movie starts. Let's say
I still show up 5 minutes before the showtime.
I don't
enlisted showtime.
That would be fine if you watch the trailers, but from what I understand, you avoid all the trailers. So
I just look at my phone and kind of mentally tune it out the whole time. The
so you get there early to never look up.
Exactly.
Okay, yep. That makes all the sense in the world.
And I've gotten to the point where I know, like, the sound break when it switches to the, like, the dancing guy and all that stuff before that song even starts. Okay. Like, I know, time to put away my phone, because I know, like, the laser at AMC is about to start. Like, I just know that audio break now by this point, that I just know when the trailers are going to end.
So you never really know what the movies are about before you go to see them?
I try not to, like... I saw Normal at the mystery movie yesterday, mm-hmm. and had absolutely no idea what it was about, but I know I've sat through that trailer a bunch of times, but had no clue what it was even about. Like, it was even a surprise that it was about a town called Normal. I didn't even know that much going into it. I
mean, that is the best way to watch them. I'm a firm believer. I mean, going to film festivals, when you just show up and you're like, oh, what's that about? That's the best way to watch a movie, I think. Just surprise. Can also be the worst way if it's terrible. But
oh, yes, but definitely. There you go. But if I know I'm going to see it, with the A-list, I know I'm seeing pretty much everything anyway, so I don't even bother to watch the trailers.
I think it's just interesting. I got to be early so I can look down at my phone. You could have done that
at home. I just can't bring myself to be late. I'm just that, I'm not like a show up late kind of person.
More people need to be like that. I feel you.
I mean, it's okay to be there 5 minutes early, but then, like, use the bathroom. Buy some red vines.
Oh, I do that. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, buy red vines. Exactly. Not Twizzlers. Good call.
Stroll in, like, you know, with 10 minutes to go or something.
Be the weird guy. Walk in a big circle. Like, just go to the floor, like, in this open areas and just walk in a circle.
He's doing laps between the top row and the stairs.
I'll clear out the theater. I won't have to worry about talkers.
Exactly.
And I'm not sticking around for
this
guy. Bend
over, like, every fourth step and make sure the light works.
Gotta get the steps in. Don't mind me. Those people that have their feet on the bar, like in AMC, they have that row that has a bar. Just keep walking by and just looking at them as you walk. Don't say anything. Don't be weird. Just look at them. You might get them to move. All right. The third thing is he said that affordability is by far the hardest. Going to the movies must become affordable again. Now
I agree.
Well, hang on. Okay. Before I say what I would say, why do you say that?
I say that because I went to the movie with the missus. We saw Project Hail Mary. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that her ticket for a 2 p.m. performance on a laser AMC, not big format, Prime or, you know, IMAX or whatever, just on a standard laser screen, $13 for a matinee. Ridiculous.
Okay. Well, I have two minds of that. One, AMC has A-list. Regal has a member of program of their own. Like, all these are just the same price as a streaming subscription. They're usually about $25 or whatever it is. And you can see all those different things. You can see as many movies as you want in whatever format you want, however many times you want. So that, to me, covers the cost of a movie situation. I
sure,
think
if you're using it.
Right.
But even if you saw two movies, that's already cheaper than your $13 for one ticket.
Yeah, but she's not going. No, she's going like once in a blue moon.
Maybe you're missing a chance to hang out with her more. You know what I mean? I'm trying to give you quality time. That's all.
Maybe AMC is missing a chance of just me paying $10 more onto my $25 for $35, and I could use one of my slots from a partner to go.
I do think they need to have like a family slot where you can pay extra and get like one ticket a week or one ticket every 2 weeks or one ticket a month even.
Yeah, you know, bring a friend day. Yeah. Tuesday, bring a friend day.
I think that would be great, too.
They do have a companion, like 15% off a ticket occasionally. They have that.
Well, occasionally. It should be all the time.
Should be. But I think affordability is a much bigger... I mean, I know people are sick of that word at this point. It's been... How has affordability been politicized? People just can't afford stuff. You know, I get that.
Gas is $4.50 a gallon.
I mean, things cost too much. I understand, and I agree with you. What I also think is that when it comes to movie theaters, the snacks are the bigger problem than the movie ticket. Because, you know, I've talked about this before. Historically, the average ticket price hasn't really gone up very much over the last 10 to 15, 20 years. But concessions, Through the roof. Oh, I heard that echo. That was fun. So that whistle came right back at me. That is a big problem. I just noticed this yet again when I went to my AMC, and I've been a big proponent of buy popcorn, and I do every time I have the popcorn pass, I get a half off of every popcorn I get. And it's the popcorn, I don't think is that bad with that. It's like $6 for a large or whatever. But we, you know, typically get a pizza, right? It's dinner night. It's date night for us when we go to the theater. And that's, you know, now it's like $12. And plus your large drink, plus your popcorn. Now you're up to like $30, easy. And that's not affordable for a pizza that is basically a personal sized tombstone. And if people can remember what tombstones are, it's what you eat when you're poor, high, or in college. That's what a tombstone pizza is. It's basically that. And then popcorn and a pop. And it's, I mean, we don't even get two of them. We share because, you know, affordability. Plus, I can't justify getting two pops. I'm like, we'll be fine. I'll drink the crappy pib that you want instead of what I like. Because that's what you do.
Or don't you drink water? You know?
I just go in and get the courtesy cup every time. One time the guy saw that they were out of the courtesy cup for water. And he said, before I could even say anything, he said, oh, we have more courtesy cups upstairs. Let me go get you one. Because I know that's what I'm going in there for when I go up to the counter. Because I maybe buy popcorn once every 4 or 5 times.
So for people that don't know, courtesy cup is just free water. It's a cup for water, right?
Yep.
Okay.
I mean, there's nothing to prevent you from filling it up with other stuff.
Except morality and decency.
Morality, yes. And I always I always make sure I leave it on the water, say, hey guys, I only took water. Like when I'm done, like you can see on the Coke machine, it still says water.
You'd be a terrible thief.
The 17-year-old kid that's coming up behind you with a broom thinking it's a lightsaber to take you out. Push Coke, I saw you.
I mean, you get what you want. But I also say you don't have to get snacks every time either. I mean,
I still say the kids pack is the best deal. You get just enough pop. You get just enough popcorn. It comes in a actual cardboard box so that you can then dump the popcorn into the cardboard box and butter and salt and shake it up and get it all coated and get a fruit snack and a drink. $9.
Hey. There are options is all I'm saying, but I do think concessions are a big part of what he's saying. So is there anything else that Rothman left out? And I'm sure we all agree, enforce the existing rule of no phones during a movie. That's the one I would say.
Oh, definitely no phones and no talking. They don't do anything to preemptively try to stop that. And I rarely get through a movie where that doesn't happen, where there aren't people chattering away during the movie or pulling out their phones.
That's because they don't have a 17-year-old coming in a theater being like, hey, I'm going to smack you with this freaking broom if you don't shut up.
Well, that's it. When we grew up, all the theaters always had someone walking through during the movie. They did.
Yeah.
Now you don't have, like, you don't even see a single employee until, like, the lights come on. Maybe they're there to clean, if that.
Well, and also, I would like to be fair to the 17-year-old kids. You know, there's a lot of, and I won't use the term Karen because my mother's name is Karen and I don't like it. I don't like it. It's very rude to her. You stop that. But when you get these people that just want to accost them because they're doing their job, and in this day and age, people feel like they're justified in all their ways of talking down to employees and whatnot, I don't think – why would they want to put their employees through that? Because they won't – there's no plus for them. All it does is make everybody yell at them.
Oh, believe me, I've tried to tell people to stop talking, and they act like I'm the one that's in the wrong for asking. How dare I ask them not to talk or turn off their phone? And, like, sometimes I even say, well, this is, like, the second time I'm going to go and get someone. And they say, go get someone. Wow. Like, they don't care whatsoever. And at that point, I do go get someone, but by the time they come, they already put away their phone, or they're just,
you gotta catch them in the act.
Or they make some excuse, like, and nothing ever gets done.
Missed 10 minutes of the movie. Exactly. You get a free pass to rewatch it again at a later date.
I did have a guy, and this is only like a month ago. I don't remember what I was seeing, but somebody was on their phone the whole time, and they were like actively, like they had the, not the noise, but it was like you hear the vibration. The
feedback. Yeah,
you hear that, like when they're typing. And the guy next to him kept shining his flashlight on him every time they did it. And it was like double distraction, but it's also really funny. And I couldn't stop laughing. And they like, will you stop doing that? I'm like, You started it, technically. You guys are having phone-like wars. I don't know what's going on, but it's fantastic. Good for them.
One guy's typing, the other guy's flashing him back Morse code.
And nobody's watching the movie, including me, because I'm too busy, you know, paying attention to that. Anyway. Anything else that they should do to maybe bring some people that left the theater back that you guys can think of?
I mean, I don't know who left the theater, because I thought they said that this was the best year since 2019.
Well, but
for the movie theater industry.
So, I mean, I think it's starting that way. You got a ways to go. So we'll see what's going on. But there's also a lot of people that are just streaming now. They just sit at home and watch it on their couch. And that's fine. But those are people that used to go to the movie theater. And I think they're trying to see if there's ways to bring them back. I don't know. I think it may be a little late
for that. Choosing to pay $17.99 per service instead of $24.99 for the AMC.
Yeah, it's just a different. I think everybody looks at everything at cost now. Like, what's it cost me? And they can eat their snacks. And I'm like, you can bring snacks in. I don't think anybody rats anybody out about that anymore. You know?
No, I hear people cracking open cans.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's no, you did not get a can.
It's the Wild West. Yeah. It's the Wild West. They're unwrapping pizza that's in styrofoam and Reynolds wrap, and it's just like.
I wait for Aaron to come in with a trench, and he like pulls the full tombstone out of the side pocket.
I'll do it. I'm going to do it.
12 inch now. Just wrapped up in half there.
Like, just like put one on your tombstone.
Just click there. So some other news that came out of this is that Studio Canal, this is a studio, they announced that they're remaking Escape from New York and The Howling, two of my favorite movies from the 80s. I don't like it. I'm fine. I'll watch them. I mean, they already remade Escape from New York with Lockout, but that's a whole different story. I don't think they can come close to Snake Plissken, though. Howling, I think they could do. I think that's due for a remake.
Yeah, it's been long enough. Yeah, 40 plus years.
They could make and don't CGI it. Make some practical effects. I want a real werewolf transformation. I don't want any of that CGI crap. It's never looked good. I've never seen a movie where a werewolf transformation looked good CGI'd, ever.
And just remember, we have our version of The Howling on Remake This Movie Right, so that's copyrighted. You can't use that idea unless you pay us.
Sure.
You should submit your script.
I got to go and listen to the episode. It was like 8-10 years ago that we did that.
That was with Steve. That was with S.S. Wilson.
Well, that's right. We did that with the writer of Short Circuit and Tremors. Duh.
Yes.
Duh. You got a better memory than I do.
What if he submits in on his own?
Son of a bitch. Son of a bitch.
Suddenly you see his name on the credits. You're like, wait a minute.
It better be S.S.A.T. Wilson. Better be the credit. Give us something. I don't even want any money. I just want some credit. All right. So we'll see what happens with that. The other thing is that Angel Studios, who did, they've done a lot of religious fare over the years. They are kind of bulking up and becoming a real player and less religion-based. And I will say, and I don't think Troy has seen so many other movies, but I know you have, Kyle. You've seen several of
theirs. I saw the Christmas Carol one and David and then the one with the girl that drew in the book and the creatures came to life.
Yeah, yeah. And
I didn't read Sketch.
Yeah,
I saw that. I saw David. I saw Solo Mio wasn't religious at all, and that was really good. I thought that was a really solid rom-com.
Yeah, they're really expanding now. They have another Alan Ritchson movie coming out with Owen Wilson, you know, an action flick. Like, they're getting away from just wholehearted movies and kind of branching out. And I still know people that will refuse to watch their movies because, you know, it's Angel Studios. And okay, I mean, you've got to make your stand, whatever you need to do. I think it's great when a studio branches out and tries something different. That's what they're doing.
I think they'll still keep the feel-good feels. They just won't be so over-the-top Christian movies like David.
Yeah, they want to expand their base, right?
Yeah.
So did either of you come up with anything from the event?
I was so excited to find out that we not only have confirmation that the Legend of Zelda movie has finished filming.
Has it?
Is finished filming. It is actually like done in the works, not like everybody praying for an Ocarina of Time remake, video game style. But yeah, Legend of Zelda is wrapped and it's on the way for May 2027. So we're actually not that far off, just 1 year away, and only 1 year past the 40th anniversary of the game.
It's got to make you feel good.
I mean, it's interesting that this has been so tight-lipped and like wrapped up. Like, nobody knows anything about it except from the two pictures of the Zelda and Link characters that were leaked out.
It's live action, right? This is live action. This is not animated. Okay.
Yeah.
So no cast or anything has been announced?
Just the main, just Link and Zelda. Those are the only two cast members. We know nothing else about the movie.
I mean, that'll start coming out soon.
See, I would love if they kept it like that and just kept it cool. But you know they're going to release a trailer that shows like pretty much the entire plot start to finish.
The whole movie's going to be out there.
Yeah.
And then you realize it's Ocarina of Time, and you're like, the minute he like walks across the drawbridge, and you're like, damn, they made it into a movie instead of a game. Why?
Kyle, what constitutes a spoiler for you? Everything?
I just try to avoid as much as possible because I don't. I mean, when I'm doing like TV interviews and stuff like that, I can't avoid that. But I mean, for something like a movie where it's only going to be 2 hours and you know that that's it, like I try to just avoid any information about it, even like casting information. Just because I know I'm going to see it, I'd rather just go in as blind as possible and just, especially if it's like a franchise that I know well, it doesn't make any sense to.
Sure.
At that point, I don't even know why they bother to have trailers because you're going to get people that are going to go see it no matter what.
Yeah.
If it's a franchise.
Well, I look for, I don't know what that was. I look forward to seeing Zelda and also maintaining my masculine voice going forward.
Also, Cinema United CEO, very, very nervous about the upcoming merger with Paramount and Warner Brothers. Like, they really feel, even though David said that they're going to have 30 movies.
David Ellison.
David Ellison, not Zasloff. I suppose we do have to, I forgot, I forgot they were both named David on both sides of the coin. So David was, David on the Paramount side basically was like, 30 movies, we're guaranteed 30 movies, and we don't think that's going to happen. So a lot of people are very nervous about that we'll have less movies to go to the theaters because of that merger.
Talent is really upset too. There's like 2,000 plus, at last I heard, I'm sure it's probably much higher by now, but there's like 2,000 plus actors and those in the industry have signed on that are against this merger. Like it's, now, I don't know how much of that is politically fueled versus actually artistically fueled, but it's concerning either way.
The thing I don't understand is why, what makes them choose to stick some of these movies like direct on a streaming service versus why not just go for the possible money. Theater revenue?
I mean, they already know, you know, usually whatever the budget is, they have to spend 25% minimum of whatever the budget is for marketing. So they need to feel like they can get their money back. And they're, you know, it's all hedged in a bet. And so they go with what is safest most of the time.
But you can still stick it on a streaming service afterwards. But, like, why does it matter? Like,
sure. But let me ask you a legitimate question. Name three, because everybody can name one. Can you name three streaming original movies that would have been awesome in a theater without thinking too hard?
Yep.
Okay.
The Ballerina one. I can't remember the name, where they were
pretty lethal.
Pretty lethal.
Okay.
Even the pizza movie one.
And movie.
And Thrash. I think all three of those could have worked in the theater.
Don't Look Up.
Okay. Don't Look Up. Hey, you know what? I'm not arguing that they're, well, I guess I was arguing it, but I'm losing my argument. So you guys are winning. All right. You're winning me over. I do think, you know, sometimes we underestimate how much a dumb movie can really succeed if people get it out there. I think Pizza Movie would have been great in a theater. I saw it in a theater because
especially if they released it on 420. They could have released it on 420. It would have done gangbusters.
Such a whole movie. It's on Hulu if you don't know what we're talking about. A whole movie about people high trying to go down two floors. I just think that's an amazing concept. Like two floors. That's it.
Yeah, my son and his friends, they all got over to a friend's house. It was probably like 10 of them there. And they're all like, that could have been $130 in tickets.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. I'm telling you, that's a good point. Thrash, good shark movie. Yeah, I mean, okay, I could see that. War Machine? War Machine would have been great in a theater. I would have loved to have seen that in a theater from Netflix. So, I mean, but the thing is, and I think it was, Sterling K. Brown had this point where he was talking about why there's so few episodes for TV shows. I'm sure you guys are aware of this, but for anybody listening that isn't aware, the reason why that they only have like 8 episodes, it isn't so much because we're trying to tighten the storytelling. It's because that the streamers make money off of subscriptions. They don't make it off of repeats and then that sort of thing. They don't make it off ads. I mean, there's some of them have an ad tier, but they don't really make their money that way. So what they don't want to make 22 episodes of TV or whatnot, because there's no need for it. They just need to make enough for you to come and subscribe, and then they got to make enough of other shows to keep you there that they justify your subscription. I find that to be a good point and something that most actors don't ever talk about.
And the release schedule. So like when you have DTF ends, Euphoria began, Rooster's The Bridge Show, to keep you and you stay subscribed all the way through.
Just keep you addicted. Keep something coming. Keep it coming. Keep it coming. Keep it coming. What about you, Kyle?
You mean the CinemaCon news? Or the merger.
I mean, are you concerned about the Paramount Warner Brothers
merger? No, I was more concerned about losing like home video stuff if it had gone to Netflix. So, I mean, I guess Paramount's also kind of cutting down their home video stuff, but I thought I was more concerned about Netflix if that would be a total cutoff of home video stuff. But I, as far as the movies and stuff go, that to me it feels more political. Like they don't like CNN going to a more conservative.
That's what it feels owner. Like to me too. I can't tell how much is really a complaint about these two powerhouses coming together, or is it because they don't like that the billionaires are associated with Trump and all of that? Like, is that
because where was this concern when it was Disney and Fox? No one was screaming, especially these Marvel actors. None of them were screaming, "Hey, let's not do this." When that was happening,
no, they were buying a beach house.
Yeah,
still are actually. I think with Doomsday, heard a report that a Doomsday cut was screened and was received very well. By the way. So I hope,
as was fingers crossed. Across the Spider-Verse, the third Spider-Verse movie is coming.
Mm-hmm, finally.
I heard that what they saw was really impressive.
I mean, if you're going to show it to a bunch of theater owners, it better be. Otherwise, you're kind of going to be a dumbass, right? Like, here we showed you. What do you think? Dude, that looks terrible. We're not booking it in any of our theaters. Whoops. I think that one will be quite a hit, but I am going to have to go rewatch the first two because I do not remember what happened at the end of the second one anymore.
I don't even think it really had an ending.
It said no ending. That's what it is. Yeah.
I need to get the cliffhanger back in my head so I remember what I missed.
He jumped to the wrong world.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll save me some time.
Yeah. He did not jump back to his Earth.
Thank God for recaps. Because it helps me every time. I just started Boys season 5, and boy, as soon as it started, I'm like, oh, please have a recap because I don't remember. Ah, there we go. There's my sweetness. Caught right back up. Kyle, what about you from CinemaCon? Anything?
I actually didn't even read any news. I forgot it was going on until I saw it on this list. So yeah, I haven't read any news.
Well, that's easy peasy then. We move on.
Yep. Way to prepare. Glad you had 24 hours to do so.
You had like 8 minutes. You could have done better. That's all I'm saying.
We give him more time. He doesn't do shit. Like, he's played the Amanda part perfectly.
Wow. Wow. She's going to kick your ass. You just saw her.
She had the chance. She didn't do it. So snooze, you lose.
She, God bless her, flew into town for my 20th anniversary event that we had, dinner. So it was very nice. And Troy was there. It was very nice. Sorry, Kyle. Maybe next time. It was very limited. A little farther away. Very limited on the invite list.
He would have been there on time 5 minutes early. I would have.
Yep.
That would have been amazing. That would have been funny. All right. Well, let's go to our From the Outside In topic. We're going to just have some a little bit more fun. So we're going to dive into some things that are dominating TV or some fun stuff with TV. And we're going to copy a little bit of like last week's format, but a little faster. Quick hit TV topics, current shows, streaming hits, hot takes, that kind of thing. And then we're going to move on. We're going to try and keep things a little away from the usual, Troy. We don't need to hear about Grey's Anatomy or Blacklist. That's all I'm saying. Just mentioning it. Can you do it?
I can't do my joke.
I have several Grey's Anatomy jokes throughout my...
You guys don't have time to read the news, but you had time to go write Grey's Anatomy jokes?
Oh, exactly. Yes.
400 plus episodes of material to pull from.
Jesus. God. Somebody light that show on fire.
We agree. There's no complaint.
All right. Well, let's start with something that it went too far. Give me a show that you did love, but it went too far. And it doesn't even really mean that you didn't even keep watching it. It just means that it lost you for some reason. And that could be maybe it's too gross, too cheesy, or even upsetting, whatever it was. It became less enjoyable for you for some reason.
I mean, I said Grey's Anatomy because it just went too far.
Oh, my God.
Too many episodes. But seriously, second season finale of 13 Reasons Why, the bathroom scene.
Season two.
Like, season one was already hard to, like, watch the hot tub rape and then the suicide because I saw the original cut before they obviously trimmed that out. That was almost too much to handle. But the season two finale was brutal.
Remind me. I'm
That is the bathroom scene with a broomstick.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that show had one of the best first seasons ever, I would say. In fact, I'm so comfortable with that. I wish they never would have went on. And then they just made it too dark. Like, they kept trying to up the ante, if you will. And I think they never recovered from that. Is that a fair statement?
Second season was okay. I'm trying to remember. Third season I enjoyed, and then they needed the fourth season because it was like a 4-year progression, right, through the high school.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I think it was fine. But yeah, the first season is really like you binge that whole thing easy peasy in one sitting because you're just so enamored with the characters and the story.
That's a good one.
Or Hannah Baker.
Now I'm sad. Now I'm sad. So thanks for that.
You bet.
Okay. What about you, Kyle?
So for me, I chose Elementary because the show was all about like Sherlock and Watson working together. At the end of the second season, they broke those two apart. They weren't even like talking to each other. And so I tried to continue on, but that was the heart of the show, was those two working together to solve crimes. Then even into the third season, they still weren't back together, and I just gave up at that point. Apparently, if I had waited like 3 more episodes or something, then it was back to the original thing. But that was it for me. It just wasn't the show that I originally signed on for, like with them working together, and that was it for me.
Why would they break them up?
At this point, I don't even remember why, but they had some falling out. They weren't even friends anymore. They weren't even work partners anymore. And so they were like whole two separate. I think maybe he got back into like his drugs or something like that. And she was, just didn't want to be around him or something. I forget what they fought about and why they broke up, but it was like they were both working on separate things and not even talking to each other. So it became like a whole different show than like you have Holmes and Watson working together to solve a crime. Like, and so I don't even remember at this point. I never went back to it. Like, I should probably go back and watch because I enjoyed the first, 1.5 seasons, and then it just changed. It wasn't like the same show anymore.
Well, I will tell you, and I still watch the show. This is the funny part. But I don't enjoy it nearly like I used to. And that's The Boys. After season three, the first episode, where Termite, you know, the land.
That's exactly where I stopped and switched to Gen V.
I mean, you know, you got a guy who goes into another person's appendage and it becomes explosive, if you know what I'm saying. I'm trying to be nice for the kids, right? And yeah. I love
the pee-pee went wee wee.
The pee-pee went boom boom. The show is something that I loved up until that point. And now I feel like I'm watching it just to see how it ends. Like, I don't enjoy it nearly as much, and I just want to see the ending. And most of that has to do with Anthony Starr's Homelander. I just think his performance is fantastic. Carl Urban is fantastic as Butcher. And so just those characters kind of keep me from walking away from it. But I mean, I remember when the first two seasons, I like couldn't wait. And don't get me wrong, they've always had a little bit of gross here and there, but that was just too far. And I feel like now they're just trying to double down every few episodes. The season premiere just had another huge penis reference. And I don't care if it's in the comics. It's too much for me. Okay. I mean, if you love it, you love it. But for me, it's just too much. And so you're with me on this, Troy?
Yeah, we watched that season 3, episode 1, got 11 minutes in, laughed our asses off, and just never went back because we were laughing so hard, and then kind of forgot about it. And then Gen V started, so we watched Gen V instead because it was better.
Do you think you laugh so hard because, like, to go back to it, you're like, I can't take it seriously anymore? Is it that kind of thing?
I think so. Like, that whole scene is just so whacked.
See, that stuff didn't bother me at all. It was more season 4 that I kind of lost interest because it just became... The writing was just like, hey, here's a real headline that we're just going to copy completely reenact rather than being like creative anymore. And so I haven't started the season 5 yet. I'll watch it because I want to see how it ends. But Gen V was so much better than that 4th season of The Boys.
I agree with you. That's it. They try it. And it's still on course, right? They're still mirroring the political environment. And you can tell. And I know Eric Kripke loves to say, well, we had no idea we could be this close to the real political climate. I'm like, there are certain things, especially in season 4, where it's like, that is so on the nose.
Yeah, it's like a complete copy, not even a parody. Yes, it's just word for word stuff that really happened. Like,
I mean, I want to watch my entertainment and try to get away from the real world. I don't really want to just be thinking about things going on here all the time. So. All right, fix that finale. Can you take a TV finale and just pick one where it was a great show and it tripped at the finish line and you could fix it? Something with a divisive ending. What would you have changed?
I'm going to go with Gossip Girl and the reveal of who Gossip Girl actually was.
Okay.
It's terrible. It ruins the whole show because the things that Gossip Girl said about Serena over the years, like... It just doesn't make sense. It just adds a whole bunch of plot holes that I just don't understand. Like, makes no sense.
So how would you fix it?
I would fix it by focusing on the other half of the episode where Chuck and Blair actually get married. And then there's a little bit of a time jumpy that happens, right? And they're still happily married. And I would have Chuck Bass been Gossip Girl because he hated Serena for things that she did to him and his family. And also because of the way she treated Blair over the years. Like, that would have been more vindictive of the things that was said by Gossip Girl throughout the course of the show.
Okay. I mean, I didn't really watch... Oh, that's the Blake Lively one, right?
Yeah. Leighton Meester, Penn Badgley.
And who was the original Gossip Girl?
Well, I didn't want to say it because there's people that wanted to watch it.
The show's been off the air for like 25 years.
I didn't even watch the end, and I think I already know who Gossip Girl... I who quit after a few seasons.
Dan was.
Oh, interesting. And then he spun off into you. He spiraled. Good to know. All right, Kyle, what would you fix?
It's also unoriginal because his character was a writer to begin with. So because he was the writer, he was the obvious choice from the beginning of the show.
Like, and they just used the voice to mask it, right?
Correct.
Okay. Interesting.
Which is fine because Kristen Bell could read the phone book. That's fine by me.
I mean, yeah. I'd watch it. All right, Kyle, what do you get?
So I went with The Sopranos, which it had the makings of a good ending. Like, it built up all the tension. It had the great Don't Stop Believin' plan, and then just nothing. Everyone thought their TVs broke. And, like, you can't build up and then just give no resolution whatsoever. Like, I would have loved to see some massive shootout or something happen to give like a definitive ending rather than just leaving it wide open with no like explanation whatsoever of what actually happened.
So you want to see him get killed?
Yes. Or see him take down somebody coming in to kill him. Like, just something. Like, don't build up and then give absolutely nothing. Like, because the tension was there, it was like perfect buildup, and your heart's pumping, and then all of a sudden we just see black. Like, I guess, like, you have these people saying, oh, there's all this creative writing, like, they alluded to
brilliant.
That. Like,
it was brilliant.
It was brilliant, and they alluded to this with some line somebody said. It's like, no, I want a definitive ending. Like, I spent 6 seasons watching this, I want to know for sure what happened.
I would too. That's absolutely fair. I would probably, I think it'd be The Shield even though I kind of like the ending of The Shield, because for anybody that doesn't never watched it, Vic Mackey was this dirty cop. And at the end of the show, he ends up basically getting desk duty. But he still gets to be a cop. And he's done some terrible, horrible things. And some people, a lot of people were really mad about that. I wanted, I think, if I were to switch anything, I would have the same kind of ending. The desk job, and he's stuck there, and he's just hates it and everything else. But then some villain, probably a low-key perp or someone from his past that I don't know who it would be, but you just kind of go through the episodes and find someone that he'd wronged horribly that didn't die and have them just walk in. And I would kind of pull a little bit of a Sopranos on this, where they walk in, you see them packing, you know, like a gun behind them with their hand on it or something like that, and just walking up to Vic and him just looking up and just having terror in his eyes, and then it cuts to black. That's because then at least I've got it in my head. Ah, he got what was coming to him. You know, because he did, even though a lot of people say, well, he got a punishment worse than death. Bullshit. He did a lot of terrible things. He got to still have a job at the end of the day. I want him to suffer. And I think that would have been a cool way to end it. But they don't pay us the big bucks. That's for sure. Okay. Casting couch. So this is take a major TV role, one that's beloved. You can't just pick some one where everybody thinks the casting's wrong. Something beloved, but you always thought it would be better if it went a different way.
I'm going with Friends.
Okay.
Not picking on Matthew Perry because he's dead. Just saying, I think this person as Chandler Bing would have been hysterical. And it's Andrew McCarthy.
Hmm. Huh. Okay, explain how that would have... Why Andrew McCarthy? That's kind of interesting.
It just felt like it would have bridged the people from like the 80s that, like, you know, grew up with Andrew McCarthy, Brat Pack, Weekend at Bernie's comedy level, you know, and it's like Mannequin. And then you get him playing Chandler. You could kind of get that bridge into the 90s because Friends was really a 90s show. So you can bring that audience with you by having that one iconic character, because I don't think many of the people that were in Friends when it started were just that big of known characters at the time. So you launch the show with at least a known character, a known entity, you know, and more people would have probably chimed in.
That's interesting. That's a risky one, man, because that's the only thing I did like about Friends was Chandler Bing. Now you're going to make him Andrew McCarthy?
Would you like Andrew McCarthy?
I do. I don't see him as a jokester. But I'd be game. I'd be willing to try it.
Then his boss would die, and then he would animate his boss so that...
Wow. You just carry him around?
Yeah.
Yeah. He and Joey can just carry his boss around. No connection to anything else whatsoever. What about you?
I think I misunderstood this question because I was not...
Well, Troy does that every week. Just make up your own rules. Who needs to listen?
That we were replacing, because, I mean, we had Queen Latifah as the Equalizer and Kathy Bates as Matlock, so I was going along that line.
Go for it. You already... Hey, do it your way.
Rebooting a show.
Go for it.
So, in the same vein of taking a female lead, I would give you Ana de Armas as Michelle Knight in a new reboot of Knight Rider.
I'm down for that.
I mean, no one can replace the Hoff, but
I'm down for that.
I would watch like that. That sounds
great. She could blend in the high society functions and take down all those evil billionaires. She could fight all the bad guys on the streets. To go along with it, I did a double casting for Kit. We could take Jodie Turner Smith, who played the voice of the GPS in the movie that only I saw, A Big, Bold, Beautiful Journey.
Mm.
Like, she could do the same type of performance in this, where she's adding a little humor and sass to the voice of Kit. And then we could have the new Knight Rider.
I like it. Yeah, I would watch that. I would. I mean, you really had me at Ana de Armas, but that's a whole different story. Well done. All right, I'd do that. Mine was going to be a little bit more old, just because I was never... Well, I'll tell you, I don't like Dallas very much. But a big reason for that was I always thought Larry Hagman was kind of over-the-top cheesy. Like, don't get me wrong, the show was campy, right? But he was just...
It was a nighttime soap, of course.
It was basically a nighttime soap, but he was chewing dialogue a little too much. And I was like, what if you put somebody who could really play with that a little bit more? And... My pick would have been of the time, Carol O'Connor. And you know him as Archie Bunker, but he also was on in the Heat of the Night in a much more serious role. So he can do either side. And I thought that would have been a really fascinating way to take J.R. Ewing with someone that I think has a little bit more acting prowess and also is much better with a joke. So that I know it sounds kind of old school, but that's the one that popped in to my mind.
If you could have made it work, right? Jeffrey Dean Morgan is Negan's character in that role. Just spouting off lines left and right. That'd be so amazing.
He's just the J.R. Ewing is walking around with a bat with a wire around it. I would watch that. Why not?
He killed himself. It's revealed that he killed himself with the baseball bat.
Yeah, so why not? Right. Different thing. It feels like a Texas thing. And I also had an idea. You know how they rebooted all those 80s shows? Like they had Magnum and MacGyver and Hawaii 5-0 and all that. I would have loved to, instead of Blue Bloods, we actually just got a new Magnum P.I. at his age, where he's out there still because he never had a retirement plan, you know, so he's still out there trying to solve crimes in his 60s and 70s. And I think that would have been a fun show to watch.
But still the Hawaiian shirt, of course. You need that.
Of course. Yeah, you don't upgrade. You ride it out. Style never dies. It just comes back around. All right. Okay, so here's where we get to the survival streaming pack, which is one platform. Whatever platform it is that you have one platform that you pay for, and you can specifically say it's mostly for one show. What is that show that justifies that subscription for you?
For me right now, I would say Apple TV Plus. Shocker. I know.
Come on, man. That's too easy. One show, but pick the show.
Yeah, Shrinking.
Okay. All right.
Shrinking was the show that you would definitely keep your Apple TV Plus subscription for. It is the, like, if Ted Lasso was the, we needed that for the pandemic, Shrinking is what we needed to survive the hellfire that we live in currently.
Okay, that's fair. What about you, Kyle? Do you have one that you can justify with one show?
Yeah, not that I need another medical show that I could watch for 2+ decades. I would go for The Pitt on HBO Max.
Ooh. Good pick.
Yeah. Tell why is the second season holding up? I'm waiting until they're all out, so I haven't watched the new season yet.
Yeah, I think there's one thing that I don't really care for that they're doing with Noah Wiley's character, but I mean, otherwise, I think it's been, I've really enjoyed the second season again. The one thing I like is how it's like the 18-hour shift, so you get, it's kind of like 24 mixed in. With this medical drama. So it takes place over like real time with each episode being 1 hour of their 18-hour shift. And unlike 24, they actually are realistic in that we do see Noah Wiley go to the bathroom. Sometime. So we know that they have to go to the bathroom and they do use the bathroom.
They're that's how you get a character out of the way.
Yeah. They're about an hour 15 though at the release schedule they're at right now. And I would say that there are a lot of unresolved things that they like dropped in the first couple episodes that they have not followed back up with in the second season. So unless it's all coming to a head and they'll finish it up in the last three episodes, but there are definitely open cases that you're kind of like, what happened to that person? What happened to that person? Like, did we just drop that because of this new thing that came in? And they weren't over the top on like fireworks injuries, because that was my big concern, because it takes place over the 4th of July.
How do you guys feel about who is the, is it Supriya Ganesh that's leaving the show? She plays Dr. Mohan, because I think she's a resident, right? So she's it's been reported widely that she's going to be leaving after season 2. She won't be back in season 3, and it's like a creative decision because they want to have residents that actually go on to do other things. Like, are we okay with them sticking to the reality of medicine when it's TV and you want to see your favorite people back every year?
I personally wouldn't have cared if they kept her on for longer. Like, to me, I don't know enough about that whole, the medical progression, that I wouldn't have even known that she shouldn't be there after another year. Like, I would have been fine if they had kept her.
I don't think she's had a really major role part in the second season. So, and considering that it is a teaching hospital, it makes sense that people are going to move on from the teaching hospital to go to their next thing. So it's totally fine. Now, whether or not she gets some kind of big arc in the last three episodes and then freaking Deadline spoils it again by saying she's leaving the show, that'll be kind of...
They done announced that before. It. I think they
done
announced
that before deadline.
Yeah, they do that a lot. I know. Interesting. I always wonder: is it really creative decisions, or is it just because you don't see much value in that particular character, and you want to try something different? You want to go a different way, or is this and this is just your excuse to get around that? You know what I mean? So I do wonder.
I mean,
about
she
that.
Definitely hasn't been that much in this season. Yeah, it doesn't nothing, seem yeah, like right? so.
From what I've heard.
Yeah, I would drop the character and bring somebody else in. Interesting.
Yeah.
Mine would be, and I know it's over now, but Stranger Things. I kept Netflix for years when I wasn't even watching it, just because Stranger Things might be coming back within the next year. I mean, I know it's pathetic, but that's a show that I really, 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 really loved. And it absolutely justified my Netflix subscription. Now, how much longer does it stay or before I start playing the game like Troy does, which is, you know, you focus apparently just on Apple TV, but I would bounce around a little bit and try some other service. You know, it's like dating, you know, you try a few other sample a little bit, see what's out there.
Well, Apple TV is like Prime. It's included in my Apple One subscription.
But Apple TV only, I mean, I'm glad you have the one show because they only have like five. So it doesn't have a plethora
They have the best TV. They are the HBO of what HBO used
I
to
I understand that you're Chuck cleared, on, but.
Yeah. I hardly watch any of the Apple shows, but also I have to switch to my brother's account in order to watch it. So it doesn't show up with all my other stuff. So I kind of forget about the Apple stuff.
And it's still probably one of the cheaper ones out there.
I wouldn't pay
for it. Well, it's way up. It started at like $5. Now it's like 13 or something like that.
Ted Lasso could get me to come back to it. You know what I mean? Like, that'll get me back on
it. Season 4 is coming.
I know. When that's out, then I'll do that. And I'll probably watch Shrinking, finish it out. Because I haven't finished it yet. All right.
Season 4 is coming.
I know. Okay, so cancel one forever. So we're doing what streaming services love most, which is canceling something that people actually enjoy. So you take two current popular shows, and one is gone forever. The other gets to continue. What are you going with?
And I was confused on this one. It doesn't matter what the service is. It could be across services for this one.
Yeah. It can even, across the board.
I am keeping From. From is the season 4 is coming out on MGM Plus.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very great show. Lots of fun. Totally worth the watch. I would cancel Pluribus in a heartbeat over From.
Okay. What's your reasoning?
Pluribus, the first episode, amazing. So good. Like, I was hooked. And then it just slow burned for the next 7 episodes with maybe one episode that was interesting. Which was the guy from whatever it was, Chile, Costa Rica, when he crosses the Darien Gap. Mm-hmm. Like, that episode was great. Just cinematically, the filming, everything about that episode was good. But like, it didn't go anywhere. And the things that they were trying to like make mysterious, like, you could totally make the call ahead of time. Like, oh, that's what they're doing with this. And oh, that's what they were doing with it. So there wasn't any like, it wasn't like Severance, where Severance, you were like, every episode. It's a good show. Like, it does like the Vince Gilligan thing, but
sure.
At the same time, it wasn't, the first episode is so different compared to everything else the show put forward.
Fair enough. What about you, sir?
So I, like Troy, was a little confused. I stuck with the same service and tried to pick two crime dramas so that it was sort of like a choice they were going to have to make. So I went with Dexter Resurrection and Criminal Minds Evolution on Paramount Plus. And so it's pretty obvious which one I'm going to pick to keep.
I don't know if it is, because Criminal Minds has got renewed for another year or two.
That's
or
what
something.
I mean. That's been like on for 20 seasons if you count both the original and this. So, I mean, it's definitely immensely popular. So I wouldn't want to cancel something that someone loves. But Dexter, every time I've doubted it, like, how are they going to bring this back? How are they going to do this? It has just killed it. And I've loved every season they've done.
I don't know if that was intentional, but I like it.
And so I just have faith completely they could kill off Dexter and bring him back a million times, and it would still be great. And so Dexter would definitely be the one I would keep, whatever they call the show for the 20th time they reboot it. Because
That's good. I like that. I Dexter, I think, even though, you know, we've talked about this, but the ending of Resurrection Season 1 is a perfect Dexter ending. They finally got it. They finally nailed it. I will forever be happy with that one season. So whatever they do from here on out, I would still have that ending if I need to go back to it. But yeah. I am very excited to see that, like, Uma Thurman's going to come back, and Dan Stevens is going to be in the new season. And, you know, they have some other Brian Cox has been cast in the new season. Like, there's some great actors coming. And I'm not going to say which characters they're playing, but that's been out there, too, because I know you care about spoilers. I don't really.
I think I've already heard the news anyway.
Well, so. I won't ruin it for you if I haven't already. So, but there's some great actors coming. I love Brian Cox. I love Dan Stevens. And just the fact that Uma Thurman's character is going to come back, all of that's fascinating to me. I'm like, where are they going? This could be a really interesting way to go forward. I'm going to pick two video game shows, right? That at one point people thought just nailed it. And I think one has just effortlessly lost its way. So you have Fallout and you have Last of Us. And I think Fallout is creating its own kind of story, its own world. It's making something fascinating. It's continuing to build. And it's two seasons in. Then you have Last of Us. And I don't care how much it followed the game. It lost the entire audience. And it earned that loss. Like, it just wasn't good. And they should have done it completely different. The second season really sucked after the midway point. You know, I'll probably come back because I love Caitlin Dever. But at the same time, if you canceled it and never came back, I'd be fine. And I'd never think about it again.
I think I'm in the same place as you on that one. Like,
yeah, see, and the Caitlin Dever story is the better part of that second game.
Doesn't matter. But here's the thing. That's kind of the same argument as, well, you just got to get through the first three seasons, then the show finally gets good. You gotta well, no, I think keep that's the what, audience engaged. I think engaged.
That's where Craig and Neil, like, messed up. They should have, like, because they brought Caitlin in, you do the big thing in, like, the first or second episode, and then they should have went to the Caitlin Dever story.
Mm-hmm.
And then brought Bella back in for season three for the Bella side of it. But
Or intermix the two
and just have, like, no, you're going two seasons. And just tell it like the game tells it, but tell it in real time rather than in two different segments.
Would have been a much better way to do it. And that's where they got so stuck on. And that's the difference between the two shows, too, right? Fallout is trying different things and going outside of the games and giving people, like, what they love about it, but also giving them something different. Meanwhile, Last of Us is such a slave to the way the story was told. And I know people that played the games love it, but you got to notice that when your audience is like, this sucks. Like, they can't all be wrong. You know what I mean? At some point, you just have to listen, because everybody was on board the first season and didn't have to do with what happened in episode two. That's not why they left. It's because you didn't keep it interesting for everybody after that happened. That's what the problem was.
Yeah, there was no why.
There was nothing to keep up. Video games and TV are different mediums. You have to remember that. And I'm not talking about you, Troy. I'm talking about them. They wanted to be pay such close attention to the structure of the games that they forgot that people at home don't watch stories the same way. They're not interactive. They're not involved in them. So tell them a little differently. You know, when you've got the Caitlin Dever character, you've got a whole season where you know you're going to have another season following her journey. And like you said, that should have been intertwined, because by the end of it, people stopped caring about whatever her reasons were. And now you got to try and get them all back. Oof.
Yeah, I think you immediately jump to the sequence where you're like with Abby and her dad, that has to follow her doing what she does in episode two, because I need the motivation to, why did she just do this? I don't want the Bella Ramsey grief episode for an hour of her just pouting.
Yeah, and now you're gonna have a whole season where characters have already died, and now we get to watch who they were when they were alive, and we don't care anymore. Like,
if
I mean,
you even remember who they are.
It's going to be hard for an audience to care. It really is. So, it is what it is. Okay. So now just the quick hot seat. We're going to give three quick questions. You guys got to answer, right? So first, what popular TV character is wildly, or TV actor, I'm sorry. What popular TV actor is wildly overrated?
I mean, she's a sweetheart, but no offense. I think Millie Bobby Brown.
Ooh.
I think as Stranger Things went along, her character was the same one note character from, like, the first season. Her character never grew the entire show. where all the other characters completely leveled up every single, that was a D&D reference, completely leveled up every season. Like you, like those, all the other kids got so much better as actors, and Millie just kind of stayed the same 11 for the whole show until she, delivers a final blow at the end.
Except for that 8th episode of whatever season that was, where she really got to shine and show her emotional side when she met her
emo friend. Side.
Yeah. Season 2. Oh, yeah. That's a special episode. All right. Well, I mean, I like her in other stuff. I like Damsel. I like Enola Holmes. So I do like her.
I mean, I like her more in her other stuff than in Stranger Things.
That character got grating after a while for a lot of people. Yeah. All right. Who you got, Kyle?
So mine's likely a bit controversial, but also related to what we talked about just a few minutes ago.
Uh-oh.
I'm going with Pedro Pascal. Like, I just...
He's in everything
these days. TV, movies, whatever. I don't think he's terrible, but I don't think he's as amazing as people make him out to be. Like, even for season 3 of Mandalorian, I don't even know if we actually saw him. Like, was he just phoning in his dialogue and somebody else playing the Mandalorian?
Well, he's not in that suit all the time, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. To me, his peak was as Oberyn Martell in Game of Thrones. Oh, that's what I liked him the best in.
That's his best role. Yeah, I agree with you on that.
And his villain in Wonder Woman 84 is basically the reason why I don't like the second movie.
He was terrible in that. I completely forgot he was in that.
I liked it so much. It was so ridiculous. He was so freaking stupid. I loved it.
At least he didn't rape anybody in that movie.
So. Pedro is the way. I don't know. okay, so popular TV actor that is wildly overrated for me, and I talked a little bit about her last week, but Nicole Kidman. I remember when she was one of the best actresses working in the industry, and now I find her, and I don't know if it's because the phrase can't express anything anymore, or she just chooses not to put anything into any emotion. I get more from her performance in the AMC opening than I have in anything she's done on TV in the last 5 years.
So you're saying she doesn't make TV shows better.
She does not make TV better.
Where do you think that downfall came? Was it after Big Little Lies, or are you including Big Little Lies in that?
No, I would say after that. I would say, and I think after the first season of that, because I didn't like the second season. For whatever reason, it felt like she was, number one, churning out TV projects like nonstop. And I just felt like she was playing the same character in all of them. I mean, I don't see anything different when I see, I don't see any performance. I just see an actor taking jobs.
I haven't seen Scarpetta, but all her HBO other stuff all seems the same to me, like what she does.
But. What was the one she was in with Hugh Grant? The Undoing?
Yeah, The Undoing.
She was okay in that one.
That was okay. I think that one's probably the exception to the rule, but still. I mean, I'm not kidding. I watched Scarpetta, and I'm like, I know this character a little bit, and she sure had a lot more going on emotion-wise than anything Nicole Kidman did. All right, moving on. What is the one show a good friend recommended that you are afraid to tell them how much you hated it?
Well, I guess I'm not really afraid to tell them because I mentioned it last week, but like Parks and Rec, Good Place. I'm just not a Mike Schur fan.
Okay. Who's the friend?
My wife.
Ouch. Ouch. Well, you have a good night, sir. Enjoy.
Or Amanda, because Amanda, I think, likes the Mike Schur movies.
She does. Yeah, she does.
Yeah. The Brooklyn Nine-Nines of the world. The Office was good because I think it was the characters and the fact that The Office UK had already aired with Ricky Gervais. So you kind of had an idea of like what it was going to be. And I think plus we all worked in an office when The Office was happening. So like you could relate to a lot of stuff, but it's just, yeah. The other ones, like, I don't know. They just don't, they're not my kind of funny.
Kyle?
I don't even remember who it was that recommended it to me, but Foundation, the Apple TV series.
It's probably Troy.
It's probably me.
I did not even understand the appeal of it. I found it so confusing, so boring. Maybe if you're a fan of like the source material, you understand what's going on, but I couldn't even make it past like the first episode
of
that.
Game of Thrones in space. It's amazing.
That sounds better than what it was.
You haven't gotten to the end of season three, because then the season three was like, holy shit.
Is that the one
I didn't make it to the second episode.
Is that the one with Lee Pace? Yes. That's the whole reason I didn't watch it. I don't like Lee Pace at all. Boring. Wet noodle. Dry soup, if that's a thing. Just nope. That's funny. Mine is, it's on Netflix, but I've been told multiple times by Brian Williams, former host, to check out Dairy Girls. It's on Netflix, right? So I watch it, and I do not find it funny at all.
My brother recommended that to me. I thought it was okay, but nowhere near as funny as...
They think it is, right?
As, yes, yes.
Just same with Letterkenny. I can't get into Letterkenny. Oh, I keep trying.
Letterkenny, I didn't make it past the first episode. That was so bad. That was awful.
I'm like, this is for a very, very specific sense of humor, and it's not mine. Yes.
Although, sadly, it might be mine.
Hey, it's a lot of people's.
I don't seek it out, but if I need something just like put on the background, I'll throw on a Letterkenny, and I'll be like, oh, that's funny.
Okay, without naming them and shaming them publicly, do you have a friend who continuously recommends shows to watch, and they obviously have no idea what you actually like?
Yes.
Okay. You don't. How so?
Just yes. You said don't name him, don't shame him. I mean, I could say his name is Rane Ederson-Pay, but, you know.
I think I've got a good grasp of what you like. Am I wrong?
You're fine.
Terrible son of a bitch.
Aaron knows me pretty well, but there are definitely people that are like, you should try this. And I'm like, yeah, no, thanks.
What I find funny is because we have this podcast, and apparently there are people that listen that don't pay attention to anything I say, and they'll send recommendations. And I'm like, what if anything that I've ever said would make you think I would like that? Like, I remember somebody recommended Bridgerton to me, and I said, there's nothing about this that is for me. And I was very, very nice about it. And they said, no, I think if you just give it a chance. I'm like, no, I gave it a chance. And it'll never happen again. Like, I've learned my lesson. It's not for me.
Well, they know you watch shows with your wife. What about an animated
Bridgerton show?
An animated Bridgerton show.
See, there's a guy who listens.
No, they were recommending it for you to watch with your wife, because they know you watch TV with your wife.
That's fine, but we like to watch shows that we both would like. It's not just one or the other. We don't, you know, she can watch what she wants on her own time.
Hey, she watched a lot of Blacklist. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, yes. Well, she liked it. She likes Blacklist, though. She wouldn't watch it if she didn't like it. Trust me. That's when she gets up and does things if she doesn't like a show. It's pretty easy to tell. Suddenly, the house is cleaner. She didn't like that show. Kyle, you got friends like this that they're constantly...
I don't really... No, people don't tend to recommend a lot of stuff to me, like...
Is it because you've already watched it all?
Exactly, because they know I already watch way too much stuff. My twin brother is constantly recommending Apple TV shows and Netflix shows like Slow Horses and Lincoln Lawyer, but it's not that I didn't like them. It's just I already have way too many other shows, and I see like five seasons lined up, and like I'm not even starting another like five-season show before I'm not adding that to my list of stuff to watch, so... It's more that I just don't have time to give it a try than it could be something I would like, but.
Do you watch many of the, because I know Troy is done with network TV, and I'm done except for.
I still watch loads of network TV.
I still watch High Potential, Animal Control, and maybe one or two others, but.
Wild Cards, probably watch.
I do watch Wild Cards. She is adorable. Adorable. And charming and funny and I just love, Vanessa Morgan. What do you watch tons of them? How do you have time, man? Like,
because I can watch those at 1.5 times speed on my TiVo.
What?
It jumps over the ads automatically, and I can just watch them that way. Rather,
is that like enjoyable?
Yes, yeah. It was great. I miss my TiVo for that reason.
Wow. Okay. All right. I can't make fun of you. Still, I don't know. So,
do you have like the original like 4K box? Like they haven't put out a new box in years.
I have the 4K Edge box now. Like they're out of business. So once this thing dies, who knows? Like they're not making hardware anymore. So once this thing dies,
they switch to a complete software company. They're like trying to rival Roku or whatever.
Wow, it's fascinating. Which box do you have from 1997? Is it good? You like it?
No, this is only like 3 years old because mine broke and I had to get a replacement. And it was fortunately just before they stopped selling everything.
So. That's what I was surprised by because I didn't think they made them anymore.
That box was like originally out like 10 years ago.
20 years ago.
20 years ago?
Yeah, I've had Twilio for over 20 years.
Okay, nerds, calm down. Well, we'll be back next week for the summer movie preview, you know, as we get ready for the summer launch of everything that's coming our way. There's a lot of stuff coming. And I wanted to mention this. You know, we talked about how the micro drama format has really exploded overseas, like TikTok, like small, like shows that have been chopped into
6-minute clips.
6-minute clips. The Audacity, which is an AMC show, I think, split their show into 21 3-minute pieces and are doing that as like for the first episode to see if they can, you know, market it that way. And I find this fascinating that people would watch 21 different segments. They're numbered, I guess, but you would watch that versus than just watching a TV show. But they're actually, you know, what was that? Quibi was ahead of its time.
Is it like all 21 are in a playlist on YouTube, or do I have to have a separate app?
I don't know how it works. It's on TikTok, I guess. I don't know because I don't watch them like that. But I sound like an old guy.
Yeah. I would find that so obnoxious to try to keep track. Oh, which part did I watch? And like, where's the next one?
Says the guy who's
like,
watching 1.5 speed and he comes to the theater. But it's on my thing.
I see the next episode pop up. Like, I'm thinking, like, I'm going through reels and it's just randomly popping up videos.
That's
like,
what it's
how
doing.
Do you know you're going to see it?
Well, I think it like does them in order if you watch them like that. Like, it comes in order. Which, if I, at first I thought, well, this is a ridiculous idea. And then I thought, man, I know people that literally just sit there and flip their phone for an hour and a half. So that could work. I think that could work for me.
I've got stuck into 20-minute episodes of these two brothers like trying to hide from each other and cross like just on random reels and things. Like I would rather sit through that for 20 minutes than sit through like 20 separate 3-minute clips. Like
that's funny. That's funny that you do sit through 20 minutes of two brothers trying to find each other. Everybody's got their thing, though. I watch, I think it's Chef Reactions, where it's a chef horribly critiques people cooking online.
I've seen that guy.
I love that guy. He's just like, oh, you're going to get diarrhea. I mean, it's just just random horribleness. I love it. Hey, guys, our show is independently funded, and as we talked about, there are ads at the beginning and end of this. You can skip them pretty quickly, but if you want to skip them entirely, you can get an ad-free of the episodes on Patreon. That's at patreon.com/TheHollywoodOutsider. Helps pay for the show. And we're pretty much done, but we've got to get to what you've been watching. So is there anything you want to talk about in terms of TV you've been watching?
I mean, I know we mentioned DTF, but the finale, just want to say the finale stuck the landing. So totally worth the watch because it is a limited series, one season in and done.
Okay.
Totally worth it. The Testaments, though, over on the Hulu, this is the Margaret Atwood follow-up to The Handmaid's Tale. The book takes place 15 years after the events of The Handmaid's Tale. I think the show is shortening that up to 4 years. And this is the story about... I don't know what
her
I can
daughter,
say
because right?
does it give it a, it's about her daughter and her friend that comes from Canada, and then you find out at the end of the first episode that she's part of the resistance in Canada and she's infiltrated the Plums. So we now have the Plums and the Pearls. The Pearls are a group of ladies that were brought back to Gilead from like foreign countries. Like I think missionaries went out to find wayward souls and have brought them back to recondition them in the Gilead ways. So those are the Pearls. And then the Plums are ladies who are being, lack of a better term, groomed to become eventually wife material for the commanders.
Oh boy.
So it's interesting to see like this Daisy girl who's the one from Canada gets teamed up with Agnes. They changed her name in the show because obviously they had to get rid of her original identity because they didn't want her tired of June.
Is that Chase Infinity from?
Yes, it is Chase Infinity.
One battle after another. Okay.
It is. And through the course of the story, right, they actually, she actually like becomes like in the book, she's trying to become like an aunt and she gets trained by Aunt Lydia specifically. So it's also part of Aunt Lydia's redemption story. Post what happens at the end of The Handmaid's Tale. So if you're a Handmaid's Tale fan, first episode was good. I'm in for the ride.
That's a show I can't do. Too dark for me.
This one was a little bit lighter, except for one
scene. Do they make it a comedy? They make it a comedy. I'll check it out. But until then, I can't do it.
Yeah, there was one scene that maybe rivaled Negan
I'm out. That's it. Enough said. I'm out. Speaking of Troy, or not Troy, Kyle, you watch a lot of network TV. Do you watch The Rookie?
I do watch The Rookie.
Yep. I don't normally watch it, but I just watched the episode where Jensen Ackles and Jared Padalecki are in there. Did you see that one yet?
Yeah, they always do one of those like documentary style episodes every season.
It was funny. Like for anybody that doesn't know, like it's like a devil-ish case. They think maybe it's devils involved during the documentary. It's kind of like, you know, how a lot of shows will have those one episodes that are just completely out there, like a musical episode or something weird. And it's like that. But they go and they're looking for advice on people that have handled supernatural cases. And they go to the actors, Jensen Ackles and Jared Padalecki from Supernatural. And like, dude, we don't know. We're like actors.
We
just say what they write. It was a great bit because they're talking to them for a minute like they're experts and they can help them solve this case. It's pretty funny. Kyle, what do you got?
So Malcolm the Middle returned after what, like 20 years, 15
yeah, how was
years?
That?
I don't even know. So they have like a 4-episode, Life Still Unfair, like miniseries on Hulu. It's really plays out like 1 2-hour movie, but I found it really entertaining. It basically, the premise is that Malcolm's parents are celebrating their 40th anniversary and they're having a big party, but Malcolm sort of like went off on his own and didn't, to get away from his parents to maintain his sanity. Like they don't even know that he has a daughter, who's like 11 or 12 or something. So he's kept his whole life a secret, and he likes having that secret, but now they're trying to get him to come back for this party. And I mean, basically they took everything about the original show and brought back a gazillion characters from the original show. It feels like a whole reunion special. They set up with that, with the anniversary, but it's more like a reunion of every character that was ever on the show, it seems like. But I really enjoyed it. Like I said, it's 4 episodes, but it really just feels like one continuous movie. You could binge the whole thing all at once and watch it like a movie.
That's what I like to see. If you're going to be a revival, hit it and quit it. Get in, get out.
And then another thing I watch, I don't know if you've ever seen the show LOL, Last One Laughing, on Prime. Basically, they've done these for all kinds of different countries, but they recently had the second season of the UK version. So basically, they have a whole bunch of comedians. You recognize a whole bunch of them. Like, they've had a Canada one, a US one, a whole bunch of foreign language ones. I don't bother with those because I don't think subtitles and comedy really go together.
Yeah, it doesn't work. Yeah.
But, like, this was the UK one. And so basically, they take all these comedians, like maybe 10 comedians, they lock them in this room for 6 hours, and if they try to make each other laugh, and if they laugh like twice, they're eliminated, and then they have to leave the room. So it's like the last one standing, who didn't laugh, who wasn't made laugh.
So the deal is to make them not laugh?
They try to not laugh. And so if they laugh, then an alarm goes off and they give them a yellow card first, the first time they laugh. The second time they laugh, then they get a red card.
That's interesting. Okay.
Out.
That's interesting.
So, I mean, it's really entertaining. Like this one had, I forget who was in this one. It had like the guy from, David Mitchell, who's in Mitchell and Webb, had some other like recognizable UK comedians. Like the Canada one had like David Foley, and it had Tom Green. They have all kinds of different ones on there you can watch. But I all the seasons I've watched so far have been really good of that.
Okay, I'll check that one out. That actually sounds interesting.
It's usually 6 episodes, 6 30-minute episodes. They break it out to, or maybe like 25 minutes, but because the whole thing takes place across 6 hours, and then they also pull in other people to try to make these people laugh. If no one's laughing, they start pulling in other.
It's a weird support concept, but I like it.
Yeah. And then the last thing was, we already talked about it briefly, Thrash on Netflix.
I like Thrash, man.
Just when you thought it couldn't get any more ridiculous, they up the stakes. It's just a really fun shark movie.
It's Crawl 2 is what it is.
Exactly. Yes. It's Crawl with Sharks.
Yeah.
But, it's just really entertaining.
And for anybody that doesn't know what it is, it's like a Category 5 hurricane, right? It's a Florida town. And then sharks come in and start eating everybody. And there's like a pregnant lady that's trying to stay alive, right? I mean, that's pretty much it. Am I missing any big plot holes there?
Well, there's the two groups of people. There's also the kids. The kids in their foster home are also trying to survive.
Yeah. It's cheesy, but it's well done. Like, it's a really... Take your brain out, throw it in the sink, put it in the fridge, whatever. You won't need it. Good. Good kills, though. Fun. That's on Netflix. The Boys season 5, I talked about a little bit again. I mean, I'm just not all in anymore, but I want to see how this thing ends, and I think they're kind of ramping up quite a bit. It's always funny to me when they have a big action scene, and in the premiere, there's like two or three episodes that are out now. The premiere has like a big kind of action set piece, and I think it looks almost low budget. It's almost like they have less budget than they have had in the past, probably because they spent all the money on the exploding penis. But there's some decent plot twists in the first couple episodes, and it's a full-on Supernatural reunion as you go. So if you like Eric Kripke, you like Supernatural, and you like The Boys, you're going to like probably the final season. So it's they're not afraid to kill off characters either, which is a plus. And then that's on Prime. And then Big Mistakes is a new Netflix comedy from Dan Levy. It's like 8 episodes, like 30 minutes a piece. And he is a gay preacher or gay priest. I didn't know that was a thing. I'm not saying that to be negative. I just didn't know it was a thing. And he and his sister, who's Taylor Ortega, they are kind of, I don't know, they have differences and whatnot. They're not as close as they could be. And so they are together while their mom, Lori Metcalf, is running for mayor. And they end up caught up with a mob for circumstances I will not spoil, but my God, it's ridiculous. And so they end up having to do odd jobs for the mob to pay off their own debt, if you will. And they just keep getting into more and more trouble. It's called, again, Big Mistakes on Netflix. And Dan Levy's from Schitt's Creek, obviously. David. And it has kind of a little bit of the Schitt's Creek conundrum the first few episodes where it's trying to find its footing. But when it does, I mean, it really fires on all cylinders. There's a lot of yelling. So if you don't like yelling, you might not like it. But I really was getting into it. And by the end, I'm like, okay, I would absolutely watch another season of that. And at the first episode, I'm like, is he just going to be playing David the whole time? But he is really playing a different kind of character, though very similar in some aspects to how he plays him. But it's a it's a very different character. And I really like how Dan Levy is very good at writing relationships that are not the norm, that are not just boy-girl, da-da-da-da. I mean, like he can come at a relationship from all kinds of different angles, very complicated, poly whatever, poly gay, bi, trans, whatever it is. And he just paints it as normal. Like it's just part of the everyday world and you never think about it. And I'm only thinking about it because I think of things on a critical level. But I just love that he writes it that way because it's just so much more accessible and I think it brings people in. And it seems very much like he's just like, hey, this is just how people are. Let's stop making it a moment of the episode point and just make it, this is just the people's lives are crazy. There's a lot of things going on. Who knows? Let's try. Let's have some fun. And that's what the show reminds me of. Very similar to Schitt's Creek in that way. I really liked it. I mean, it's like a crime caper and it's like Schitt's Creek if it was a crime caper.
Yeah, I meant to try to check that one out this weekend, but I ran out of time.
I hope you like it. I mean, I find more and more people are liking it and they're giving it a whirl. So that's good. And that's it, guys. We don't have any more podcasts. We're done. Anything you want to say before we get out of here?
Summer movie preview.
Yes. Next week. And then we'll be taking a week or two off.
Are we still saying summer is May 1st? Because
yes.
Of Marvel?
Yes.
But
yep.
I don't know if the Marvel cachet has kind of worn itself out and we can go back to Memorial Day now.
Nope. It is still May. It has not changed. I mean, you've got Devil Wears Prada 2 coming out May, the first weekend of May, bud. All right. That's going to be a big one.
That'll be big.
Maybe not, you know, Doomsday. Are we calling it Doomsday? Can we do that yet? Can we make a Barbieheimer thing?
No.
Oh, I'm doing it. Robert Downey Jr. is doing it. I can do it. That's it for this episode, though. Come back next week for April No, not April. Not April movie preview. The summer movie preview. Troy just did it, and I just ruined it. All right, we're out of here. Remember, the next time you head to a theater or stream comfortably on your couch, buy popcorn. And be sure to check out NoReruns.net. Thanks again, Kyle.
Thanks.
For coming on. And being prepared-ish.
Bye.